The test is in four parts, part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. Now look at part 1.
Part 1.
You are going to hear a conversation between an agent and a student. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 6. Now listen to the tape and answer the questions.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Do you rent apartments here?
Yes, among other things. Are you looking to rent an apartment?
Maybe, but I think I might actually be more interested in renting a house. Do you rent those as well?
Yes, we do. Will you be renting alone?
No, I have two friends that will live with me, but I'll be the primary renter. My friends don't have a source of income, which is kind of disappointing. But I do. I'm an artist, and I've already sold a number of paintings. I just moved to town to try to get more of my work shown.
Oh, so you would like to be near the uptown area?
That's where most of the galleries are, right?
Yes, and there's a large area of homes only a couple of blocks away.
Great. I don't have a car, so I prefer being within biking distance of the galleries.
That would certainly be possible. Well, let me see. There's a large four-bedroom house right off Main Street.
That sounds good. I'd love to have extra rooms for my paintings. How much is it per month?
Around $950.
Ouch! That's too much for now. Do you have anything a bit cheaper?
I have a three-bedroom that's for $650.
That is definitely affordable. But I did want at least one extra room. Is there anything else with more rooms?
Oh, here's another five-bedroom that's vacant right now. It's further away, about a mile from the gallery area. But they're only asking $800. That's a deal for so much space.
Well, a mile isn't so bad. It's only a five-minute bike ride. And that price is okay. I'd like to see that one. Can you give me the address?
Sure. It's on 1566 Honeysuckle. Honeysuckle Drive, Wood Heights.
Now look at questions 7 to 10. As the talk continues, answer questions 7 to 10.
Such a lyrical street name. I like it. Is it furnished?
Partially. It has a couch and chairs, a dining table, refrigerator and stove, a wardrobe, a couple of dressers and such, but no beds.
Does it have a washer and dryer?
It doesn't say here. But why don't you go and take a look? Here's a key. Just bring it back today before 5.
We'll do that.
An hour or two later.
Hi, you're back. How did you like it?
A lot. But I know why it's listed so low. A couple of windows are broken and they definitely need to be fixed. I'm surprised no one has broken into the house and taken anything. That should be fixed right away.
No problem. I'll get a work crew out there today. That should be fixed even if you don't rent it yourselves. Did they have a washer and dryer?
No, but I can wash clothes by hand until I find good used ones. There was another thing, though. The tiles in the kitchen floor were broken and lying all over the place. You'd need to put in a new kitchen floor as well.
Okay, I'll talk about that with the landlord.
If you can do those two things, then I'll take it as soon as you're ready.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part two.
Part two.
Zoe goes to talk to her academic advisor.
First, look at questions 11 to 14. Listen carefully.
How are you getting on, Zoe? Feeling at home yet?
Well, more or less. There are still some things I need to buy, and I haven't found my way to all the facilities yet. But I really love the campus, and I've already made a few friends.
Fantastic. Now let's see what we can do to get your studies off to the right start, too. You're on the foundation course, so you can take up to 8 modules. What we advise is that you take 4 modules in the first semester and, assuming everything goes well, 4 in the second. Have you decided which you want to take in this semester?
I haven't made my mind up yet. I can't decide whether to take Principles of Marketing or Introduction to International Trade.
Well, that depends on your career goal. You're planning to work in the biotechnology sector, aren't you?
Well, that's my present thinking, but I guess I might change my mind.
Right, well, marketing is a broad general subject that you will find really useful in a number of careers. International trade, on the other hand, is more specific. That's fine if you're sure it's the sort of work you want to do. A lot of students start off thinking about that option because it seems glamorous, but marketing can also be an exciting career, and there's a wide choice of jobs. Maybe you ought to wait until your career ideas are a bit more definite before you go down that road.
Yes, I see. I could take international trade next year, couldn't I?
Sure. You could do international finance as well. So, in your first semester, you've got Principles of Marketing, Introduction to Economics, Banking and Finance, and let's see, Principles of Financial Accounting. How do you feel about that as a package?
It's okay, I think.
Before the broadcast continues, look at questions 15 to 20. You will now listen to the second part of the talk.
But I'm a bit worried about the maths. There'll be some statistics to do, won't there?
Basic statistics, yes. But nothing more difficult than your last year of school maths.
I know, but our maths syllabus was a bit old-fashioned. Mostly algebra, geometry, trigonometry and stuff. Hardly any stats.
Right, well, it sounds as if you could do with the maths brush-up course. Can I arrange for you to attend just the classes on statistics, if you like?
That'd be great. I didn't want to do the whole of maths again, but the stats classes would make me feel much more confident, thanks.
Hang on a minute, there's one more thing. Your English. Now, you know you have to reach a satisfactory standard in English by the end of your first year to be allowed to go on to the main BSc course.
Yeah, now I'm in an English-speaking environment, and I have to speak English all the time. I'm sure I'll be all right.
It certainly helps, but speaking isn't everything. You'll have to get your reading up to the standards where you can understand the books on your course reading list quickly to get the information and ideas you need to write your essays. That means you have to develop a high level of comprehension skills. You'll never get through the course material if you try to read the books intensively from cover to cover. That's why our language skills development program gives you a series of graded academic texts to study and answer questions on a limited time. You'll probably find it hard at first, having to work against the clock without a dictionary.
How can I improve my skimming and scanning skills?
Good question. For that, you'll have to do a range of specially designed exercises. Sometimes these will be from a transparency, because it is often how the lecture material is presented.
Sometimes I think I'll never learn all the vocabulary. English is such an enormous language.
I know what you mean. English is the biggest language ever, at least 350,000 words. Even Winston Churchill only knew 60,000, so they say. But as an academic student, you can get a lot of help from the academic word list by Avril Coxhead of Victoria University. That's in Wellington, New Zealand.
I've studied word lists, of course, but how does this one help?
The academic word list is based on a survey of 3.5 million words of academic text. It contains 570 families of the words most commonly found in academic texts. Well, that's apart from the 2,000 most useful words in English. They come in a separate list. You can see copies of both in the library.
You said word families. Do you mean words that are similar?
In a way, yes. It means that all the different grammatical forms of a word are listed together, so you can see the nouns, verbs, adjectives, forms with prefixes and suffixes and so forth. It'll be clearer when you look at it. Anyway, Avril Coxhead gives you really great hints about how to learn the words, so it shouldn't be too daunting.
The trouble is, I tend to forget the words I learn.
Well, there are two ways you can tackle that. First, always try to learn the words in a context. Either learn a whole sentence using a word, or learn a phrase that the word typically comes in. We call phrases like that collocations.
That's a new one on me. Collocations. I'd better make a note of it.
You do that. You can find collocations in most modern dictionaries. Anyway, as I was saying, there's a second study aid I recommend for vocabulary learning. When you get an assignment, take a sheet of paper and write four headings. Words I can use, words I can recognise but can't use, words I'm not sure of, words I don't know. Don't bother with the simple words, of course. Then go back after 2 weeks and look at the list again. Can you move any of the words into a better column?
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part three.
Part three.
You'll hear two university students discussing a social science lecture they attended. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 24. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 24.
Did you go to the first social science lecture yesterday?
Yeah. Didn't you see me there?
No. I was trying so hard to understand the lecturer.
What didn't you understand?
A lot of it, really. For example, he said we needed to study history as part of the course, but I didn't get why.
You probably missed it. He said early on that we need to learn from our past mistakes.
Right. But he also said we need to put ourselves in the place of our ancestors. Why is that?
I think the point is that it's not enough to know how they lived and what they did. We need to know what they thought.
I see. And I've written transferable skills in my notes next, but I have no idea what that means.
If you study social science, you learn skills that you can use in a job.
Oh, right. Is that all? Okay, but why is that?
The point he made was that in studying social science, you use a flexible and adaptable approach to learning.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 25 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 25 to 30.
He also kept mentioning all the other subjects we will need to study as part of the course. I didn't write them all down, did you?
Some of them. I think I can make sense of my notes. The first one was anthropology, which he said would cover prehistory and archaeology as well.
Okay.
Then there's economics. I wrote down that this was not meant to mean that we will spend all our time looking at economic theory, but more that we need to see how humans behave.
That's good. I don't think I could handle economic theory. He said something about education too, didn't he?
Yeah. He said we'll be looking at how cultural information is handed down from one generation to the next through teaching children.
He said we'd be focusing on geography, too, but I can't really remember which aspects, can you?
I noted it down, I think. Here we are, yes, particularly in relation to urban planning. It's law that I got confused about. I didn't understand why he linked that to economics.
I think he meant that laws affect the way wealth is distributed.
That makes sense. Now, what are the science wars?
Okay, I did get that. The science wars are about how social science collects information. In sociology and social work, and in social science generally, they can only study patterns of behavior and observe. If you compare that to the way scientists work in physics or chemistry, it's very different because they use specific experiments that can be tested and which give concrete answers. Social studies is often accused of being unscientific. That's all.
Okay. But it still looks like a good course, doesn't it? You don't have any regrets, do you?
None at all. I'm looking forward to it.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part 4.
Part 4.
You will hear a lecture about the Great Barrier Reef.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Despite its name, the Great Barrier Reef isn't just one large coral reef. Rather, it's a system of coral reefs that stretches along the east coast of Australia, covering an area of around 300,000 square kilometres. The Great Barrier Reef is composed of approximately 3,000 individual reefs, which range in size from 1 hectare to more than 10,000 hectares each. In addition, around 600 islands are scattered throughout the area, particularly at the northern and southern ends. The reefs themselves are composed of over 400 different kinds of coral, the largest variety of corals found anywhere in the world. Thousands of species of sea animals live in and around the reefs. Altogether, approximately 1,500 species of fish inhabit the reef area, including a number of different kinds of sharks. One of the more interesting mollusks to be found in the reefs is the giant clam. This huge shellfish can live for more than 100 years and can weigh as much as 200 kilos. Sea mammals abound in the area, which serves as a breeding ground for certain types of whales, many of which are endangered. Over 200 species of sea and shorebirds feed, roost, or nest among the reefs and islands. Many types of reptiles can also be found living among and near the reefs. Saltwater crocodiles, for example, inhabit the marshes along coastal areas. Amphibians include at least 7 species of frogs inhabiting the islands of the reef. Unfortunately, this wondrous area of the world is threatened by climate change. Rising sea temperatures have led to an effect called coral bleaching, that is, large numbers of corals dying off, especially in the shallower areas of the reef. The Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority is attempting to find effective ways to deal with this issue that threatens the reef. One proposed solution involves shading the reef in certain areas to help keep the surrounding water temperatures down.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.